from 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 6, where it says, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as did his father David. My Bible note says, if Solomon was so wise, why did he turn from God? It says here, he knew the right way to live, but he did not always have the will to do it. Many people have enough wisdom to know the difference between right and wrong, but they don't always do right. How many of us don't always do right? It says here, we need to develop not only the wisdom to do right, but the will to do it. So I just ask that we would just take another few moments. Let this, if you don't know what to pray, let me just share with you what I wrote down. Father, help me to never lose the will to obey you. Go ahead and pray that right now. Father, I thank you that knowing the truth, knowing you, you set us free. Knowing the truth, and the truth will set you free. But God, I pray that you will help us, remind us. Thank you for your mercy, but remind us, God, never never to lose the will to obey you. Help us, God. God, I thank you. Thank you for your spirit dealing with Solomon and all the words that we have today of what he penned and the wisdom that you gave him. That he shares, that he shared, and that we see it today. God, I pray, help us never to lose the will to obey you. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Stacy. Thank you, God. Before I forget, I want to mention, thankful for the new changes that we have. Our mother's room used to be across the hall. It actually used to be over there, but then it got moved across the hallway. Now it's in the room next to the nursery, and so that's where our mother's room is. So in the future, if you see a visitor and mom or dad, and they have an infant, and the infant just, you know, having those infant moments, please feel free to walk up to them and just kindly say, hey, there is a mother's room. We have a mother's room. It's down the hallway. Maybe you can lead them and show them there is a television set in there that will allow them to see what is being live streamed, and so they won't miss the service. And so anyway, just felt the need to share that with you all so that you can help. So it's not on the ushers to walk up to someone. And I tell you, it is kind of nerve-wracking, or not, well, a little nervous for a man to go up to a woman who has a baby. It's a little bit better when a woman comes up to another woman and up to a mom and says, hey, there is a nursery, or there is a place that you can go with your child, and there's a mother's room. And so please help our ushers with that. So slide one, I wanted to just share this because this was, I can't remember how many weeks ago, it says dedicating the temple. It was a worksheet that was passed out, and I'm going to read Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, and I'm going to answer a couple of these questions, but you have that up yet? Thank you. Just wanted to go to these questions. What specific gifts are mentioned in Romans 12, 38? Or 12, 3, verse 8. I forgot the hyphen there, so it's not 12, 38, but 12, 3 through 8. And so so as I'm reading, jot down or pay attention to the specific gifts, and how can each build up the church? And then we'll go to the next question after that. It says, how do we become more effective in the use of these gifts? And so it's great that if you know what gifting or what talent that you have, it's great to know that. If you don't, spend some time in prayer asking God to help you. There is a website that we can give you about spiritual gift tests that you can take, and that it will show up and reveal to you where your giftings are if you don't know. But if you do know, I hope that you have this desire to get better, to become more effective at what you know that God has gifted you or talent gave you the talents to do. So Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says this: "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." Thank you, Father, for your word today. Holy Spirit, reveal your truth that we can apply to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And so again, if you go back up to slide one. So we looked at these different gifts. And of course, there's a lot more. It's just not those, but a lot of talents that each of us. And so what specific gifts are mentioned in there? Shout out one that you heard, that you saw, you read. Say again. Mercy. Giving. Teaching. Prophesying. How can each build up the church? So think of giving. How can that build the church? Giving. It helps ministry grow, right? How many of you, I'm going to keep this clean. How many of you use the restroom? There was soap. Okay. What other one? Prophecy. Just by a show of hands, the prophecy in the last 3 to 6 months, how many of you were blessed, were touched, were encouraged in the prophecy that was given? Anyone, on any one particular Sunday? All right, that the Lord spoke to you. Matter of fact, as far as teaching and preaching, how many of you, whether you got your foot stepped on or you were encouraged, some of the teaching or the preaching that has been given the last 3 to 6 months, how has that blessed you? Has it affected anybody? Okay, good, great. We're doing good things. So this is how we can build the church. Now, last week in our family devotions, we read 1 Corinthians 12. Speaking about the different gifts, and the Lord highlighted verse 7 and 25 to me. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, 7, and we're going to have that up on the screen, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12, 25. But verse 7 says this, and the Lord highlighted these two verses. Again, it's talking about the different gifts that come from the same Spirit. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of what? All." Then verse 25, let's jump down to verse 25. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit," or for the each one, I'm sorry, "that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another." And what the Lord brought to my mind is hey, the gift that God had given you, the talents that God has given you, it's not for your benefit. It's for the benefit of all. It's not for the benefit of the person sitting next to you. Well, they're part of the all, but it's not just for them. It's for the all, pointing out that each of our gifts are very important. And when used together, they are more important, because the goal isn't you being active in your gift. It's not in me being active in gift, but it benefits everyone, because it is for everyone. Each person, as Pastor Shannon shared this morning, each person being, I like what she pointed out, we're not human doings, we're human beings. Each person being who God created them to be benefits all. each person effective with their gifts. This is why we need to see, we need to try to figure out, we need to hear God's voice, we need to spend time in His presence with the Holy Spirit, figuring out what can I do to help my teaching become more effective? What can you do in your giving being more effective? And let me say this, giving is not just your money. How about giving your time to listen to someone else? How about giving your time to praying for someone else, praying with someone else? So giving is not just money. Don't get caught up in that. It's good to give, but it's not just money. And so each person being effective with their gift benefits all. My next slide. So it's not just you, not just me, but all of us. From Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So each and every single one of us, being, doing what God created us to be, it benefits all of us. And this is important. So go back to slide one. So the answer for question number two, if you'll go back to that, how do we become more effective in the use of these gifts? Endeavor a partnership with Holy Spirit. And that's my title, my message tonight is partnership with Holy Spirit. Endeavor. That means pursue. Don't stop. Don't take a vacation from partnering with Holy Spirit. How do I become effective in the gifts, in the talents that God has given me? Pursue, endeavor, strive, keep working at having this partnership with Holy Spirit, allowing Holy Spirit to continue to use you. Don't give up because you mess up. Don't take a break. Don't take vacation. Continue. Allow Him to continue to use you, continue to lead you, continue to guide you, to encourage you, to tutor you in your journey, being the person God created you to be. So let's go back, as I mentioned last Sunday night, let's go to Acts chapter 14. My next slide, slide 3, I wanted to point out this map where we're going to find Acts chapter 14. The map is, okay, so Paul and his missionary team, they went to Salamis, Paphos, they went to Perga, they went to Antioch, now they're going to Iconium up at the top in the middle. Acts chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Let me ask you this question. What should you and I do in preparation against the attack of the enemy? I mean, they're faithful. I mean, they actually left from that map. They left. They crossed the sea. They crossed the water. They got in a boat, went to this island. They got back in the boat, crossed the water, and then traveled. Again, mind you, about 10,000 miles or 14,000 miles on foot. They're traveling on foot. Okay? There was no Uber. They traveled on foot. And they were faithful. But unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. So what should you and I do in preparation against the attack of the enemy? Pastor Shannon covered this earlier today. Read the Bible. Read the truth. If you read the truth, study the truth, and know the truth, you'll be able to know where the counterfeit is, who the liar is. Matter of fact, this week, just take 5 seconds, little five. How many times did you allow the enemy to bring accusation to your mind or thought about somebody else? He's known as the accuser of the brethren. If you're married, you probably say, yeah, that happened a couple of times this week. Because he loves to do that. He loves to do that, to be the accuser of the brethren, to create a little small crevice between two people that are supposed to be one. And that's what the enemy does. He tries to bring that. Where people are in unity, he wants to bring division. He wants to bring a schism. And he is the accuser of the brethren. But if we study the truth, know the truth, then we'll know when that thought comes. No, get behind me, Satan. Not today, Satan. No. And you have to know the counterfeit. How do you know the counterfeit? By knowing the truth. knowing what is true and what is real, knowing what God's word says. I guess this is why we're supposed to know the shepherd's voice. John chapter 10, verse 3, it says this: "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them." Matter of fact, I'm going to read this again, but can I have a volunteer? Just one person. First person to come up here. Luke, he's always a great volunteer. You can count on him. Have a seat, Luke. Have a seat. Thank you. All right, Luke, I just want you to just sit facing forward, face that chair, and to your best ability, Luke, just imagine the Holy Spirit sitting in that seat. And he wants to talk with you. He wants to spend time. Again, John chapter 10, verse 3, "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Holy Spirit speaks what God wants us to hear. God wants us to learn. He leads us in all truth, and the Holy Spirit gets that truth from God. He doesn't do things on his own. He doesn't have his own agenda. Holy Spirit's agenda is God's agenda. All right, thank you, Luke. All right, if I can have an adult mom, adult wife, whatever, next adult, female, come sit here, next adult. If you don't, I'm going to pick a name. All right, have a seat right there. So again, it goes on and continues, John 10, 4. "And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them." And again, share, just sitting, looking across. Imagine Jesus, your shepherd, sitting in that seat. "And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." John chapter 10, verse 14, it says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep." He knows you, Cher. "And I am known by my own." So the situations that moms, grandmom, wives, situations and certain things that they go through, men, we can't even fathom what goes on in. I'm not trying to be funny, but what goes on in their brain, and there's lots of things floating, there's lots of things connecting, and it's just like electricity. We have no idea. We have no idea. This feeling, this emotion, this experience, and we never will. But Holy Spirit, God is using the Holy Spirit in a moment like this to speak to you moms, to speak to you wives, to speak to you grandmas, that you would learn his voice, that you'll know how to fight, you'll know how to act, you'll know how to react the way that God would want you to. Thank you, Sheriff. You can have a seat. Now let me have a father, husband, man, any man want to fill this seat? Amen. I'm going to pick, man. Billy, I see your hand raised really high, Billy. Come on, Billy. One of you. All right, Robin, sit right there. Have a seat, Robin. All right. Again, Jesus is sitting right in front of you. John chapter 10, verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep." Robin, you are his sheep. "And other sheep," this is cool, because Jesus is talking when he says, "My sheep, I lay down my life for the sheep." One commentary said that he's speaking of Jews, God's people, chosen people, Jews. And in verse 16, "And other sheep," our hands raised up. Raise up your hand. We are the other sheep. "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." He's wanting to bring you into the fold, Reuben. "And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." So, just like men can't understand, nor will they be able to fathom what goes on in a woman's mind, women, you'll have no idea you will not be able to fully understand the mind of a man, what goes on, that empty box, that empty room, that what? There's nothing plugged in that. There is no electrical outlet, nothing to plug into that room. That room is just blank. You won't understand that. But in that room, Robin, in that room, gentlemen, the Holy Spirit is speaking on behalf of God of who you're to be, how you're to react, how you're to glorify the Father in all that you do. And it happens in partnership with the Holy Spirit. It happens when we learn to know His voice, and we need to learn to know His voice more clearly as the days go by. Thank you. Appreciate it, brother. My next slide. Sheep know the shepherd's voice. And I wanted to just, if you'll put that up there. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own know me. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Verse 27, they follow me. Let's go back to Acts chapter 14. I wanted to point that out because Paul and Barnabas, this missionary team, they are hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, so they go to Iconium. They have this opportunity created by God that they go to the synagogue and they're able to speak, they're able to preach, and then there's trouble. But even though that there's trouble, again, the purpose is Jesus. It's not people. It's not location. The purpose is Jesus. And so in verse 8 of Acts 14, it says, "And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. There are people who need to hear you speak. But if you don't take moments like this, moments to speak with the Holy Spirit, moments to partner with the Holy Spirit, moments to take off what you see and to put on what the Holy Spirit is wanting you to see, you won't be able to unless we have this partnership where I will surrender and submit to what God wants me to see. And a lot of times you won't see it. You won't see the situations. You won't see the people in that store and that restaurant where you occasionally go to. You won't see them because you don't have His lenses, because you're too worried about what's going on in your lens and in your own world. And you won't see. But this is what we have to, myself included, we have to be able to say, God, Father, help me to see what you see so that I can speak into someone's life, so that I can see what I have to speak in my own life. Shut up. Get up. Go pray. Spend time with the Lord. Have time with the Holy Spirit and partner with Him to see what He sees. Listen, that may sound like, oh, that just sounds like a neat prayer. It is possible. Because, listen, when Paul and Barnabas, they're there and there's trouble happening, this man heard Paul speaking. It says, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked, this man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Again, this is why this is why a partnership with the Holy Spirit is important. Do you think that Paul saw this man with Paul's physical eyes? Paul saw something with his spiritual eyes because he's a partnership with the Holy Spirit and he speaks what God wants him to speak, so he's able to see what God wants him to see. Verse 10. He said with a loud voice, "Stand up on your feet." And he leaped and walked. So being able to observe him intently, seeing that he had faith to be healed, Paul saw something that with the physical eye could not be seen, that this man had faith to be healed. I mean, this sounds like Jesus stuff. We find in Scripture that Jesus knew what was in the heart of people. He knew what they were reasoning. He knew what they were thinking. It wasn't because of the fact that he had, bionic ears. No, he was Jesus, in tune with the Spirit, in tune with God. He was able to hear. He was able to see. So slide 5, pray this, even though it may sound, all spiritual. No, pray to see what God sees. It is possible to see what God wants you to see. I believe He wants to reveal it to you. I believe He really truly wants to show you what is happening, what is going on in this situation, what's going on in that person's life. If you don't know, slide six, if you go to slide six, I wanted to point this out as well. Shannon mentioned about this, about how can I see myself as God sees me? Read the Word. The Word will tell you what God says about you, what God says about your future, what God desires, what He's set up for your future. This week, I ask you to pray and ask the Spirit to use you, to be able to walk into a room and to be able to see what God wants you to see, to be able to walk into a room and say something that someone is really wanting to hear something. You see, because when they walked in, there were people in that room, there were people in that synagogue that wanted to hear something, and people really want to hear what you have to say. They want to hear what somebody has to say, and it needs to be good. And if it cuts their heart, and this is one of the things that I would love to happen on a routine basis, that whatever God places in my heart to say to somebody, there is no way that I would have been able to know what they're dealing with, what they're going through, because it was something that they spoke in prayer. It was something that they spoke by themselves in the car. It was something that they experienced and nobody else was around that could ever see that. And they would be able to attest that it was God. Man, God is really speaking through you because no one knows this. Ask God to use you to help you to see what He sees. So Paul observed intently, steadfastly beholding is what King James Version says. His eyes were fixed on, gazed intently on this man, seeing that he had faith to be healed, perceiving that he had faith to be healed. That means to know or to be sure of. Again, this can only be done with partnership of the Holy Spirit. So Paul said, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices saying in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus... Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice. I mean, this was something that it was a situation that got completely out of hand. Somebody had to go and fetch this guy who was the priest of Zeus, and then he went to go, had to go get oxen and garlands. I don't believe that they had this right on hand and it was in the palm of their hands. No, they went to go get oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that are in them." There are people that need to be corrected. And this is what they were doing. They were, what are you doing? No. Being used by God through this partnership, at times it can get to your head if you allow it. I got this. I know what I'm doing. Pride can and will destroy you, because destruction will soon follow. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Paul and Barnabas could have just sucked up all the attention. Oh, hey, they're about to go kill oxen. They're making a big commotion about us. It could have got to their heads, but they didn't. They realized anew. No. So they went and attempted to correct them. Notice their reaction. They didn't get in their birthday suits, because where it says that they tore their clothes, Ezra, in Ezra 9, 3 through 5, when he found out Israelite men were marrying foreign women, it says that he tore his clothes. Paul and Barnabas here, when people tried to worship them, they tore their clothes. Thus, the tearing of one's clothes was an outward sign to others that a person or persons were deeply upset about something. We sometimes do this thing today in a different way. For example, when someone dies, we might wear black to a funeral, lower the flag to half staff, or Women might wear a veil to conceal their grief. They didn't tear their clothes completely off. They probably had a shirt or a cloak and they just tore it. An outward sign of they were upset. What are you doing? Oftentimes other acts were hand in hand with tearing one's clothes, such as putting on sackcloth, putting dust, ashes upon one's head, fasting or shaving one's head. Because clothes in Bible times, this was interesting, because clothes in Bible times were usually very expensive. And no one would even think about this, because I didn't. Everything was handmade. There was no Walmart or Macy's. There was no mass production of clothing like there is today. This was often an act of sacrifice, that they had this cloak or they had this on and they tore it to point out how upset or how they were, you know, either angry or upset. What can we take away tonight after looking at the gifts that we have and being in partnership with the Holy Spirit and using those gifts and praying this prayer, God, help me to see what you see, taking off our lenses and making time to say, God, I want to see what you see. God, I want to have a word that you have for me, for whoever is in this room. Give me a word that I can share with someone. I want to partner with the Holy Spirit so that the gifts and the talents that he's given me, I can become more effective in those gifts and in those talents. What can we take away? Partnership with the Holy Spirit is vital. If I can have some ushers or helpers, if you didn't get communion, we're going to have communion here in just a few moments. If you didn't take communion, just need some ushers to go grab some of the communion. If you just raise your hand and ushers will come around with the communion to pass it on to you. Partnership with Holy Spirit is vital. Being used in God's gifts benefits everyone, all of us. Because Holy Spirit will help you see in the Spirit with spiritual eyes, not your physical eyes, because your physical eyes can't see it. And you'll become effective for the work of the ministry. If you remain humble and being led by the Holy Spirit, you'll become more effective. One of the great things about Paul is he didn't lose sight of the purpose of this journey. And in the next few verses, we'll find out, because he's in partnership with the Holy Spirit, he goes into this one town and they beat him up. It says that they left him for dead. They thought he was dead. I can picture all of his, you know, his missionary team and Barnabas standing over him. Yo, maybe kicking him or pushing him. Are you awake? Are you okay? And, you know, him coming, you know, conscious and I'm fine. And they get him up. And then they leave the town the next day and they share the gospel, because that's what the purpose is, to share Jesus. Jesus is the purpose. They didn't lose out. They didn't forget. They didn't quit. They continued. And it says that after they went to certain places, they went back to the town where he got beaten up, because he's in partnership with the Holy Spirit. When we lose the partnership with the Holy Spirit, we won't see what we need to see. We won't be in communion with the Father, because we'll be caught up in what we think is right, what we've been doing. It is important that we partner with the Holy Spirit. It's important that, I don't know if this is the first of many moments that you'll have, that you'll actually make a chair, you'll make a location in your house, the backyard, somewhere. And you'll actually have a place where you will partner with the Holy Spirit and you'll spend time. And you'll endeavor to learn the voice of your shepherd so that you can hear him more clearly. You'll be in partnership with Holy Spirit so that you can stop looking at what you're looking at and to be able to see, to be able to know. Some of you probably remember the decoder ring. Maybe they had decoder glasses and you're able to see things. That's real. To be able to see in the Spirit, that is real. It's not It's not something fake or phony. Because even when I'm taking, even when I take off my spiritual glasses, that which is spiritual is still happening. I'm just out of the loop, and I don't see what's really happening. So go ahead, Jacob, and just play something softly, worship. I'm so thankful that we find here in Paul and Barnabas that they didn't lose out. We need to partner with Holy Spirit for an opportunity as He leads. As He leads us to know other people's stories so that we have the opportunity of sharing them our story, to have that divine moment of sharing God's story with them. Go ahead and play that, Jacob. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 11.